Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership, where we focus on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. We will be back with you shortly to start this week's show in just a few minutes.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to Lori Beth Jones and Studio G production tonight, talking about Lori Beth's latest book, Jesus Career Counselor. We have with us today, live and in studio, Lori Beth Jones. Good evening, Lori.
Hello. How are you?
Great. How are you? And then we have accompanying us, Shelley, representing the business pillar. Good evening, Shelley.
Hey, Elisa.
And we have Virginia Arteaga representing the health pillars and the business pillars tonight. Hello, Vicki.
Hello, how are you doing?
And my name is Alyssa, your humble hostess tonight, and I represent the education pillar. Lori, we are so excited to continue our discussions around your new book, Jesus Career Counselor, published by Simon & Schuster. And it's a great book packed with great information, exercises. Whether or not you're looking for your perfect work, it will help you find your perfect worth and help you to enjoy what you do if you're already in your perfect work, or find that perfect work if you're not yet there. And tonight, you're bringing us around the idea of restoration. So tell us a little bit about your vision for the book and the components of the book, and kind of bring us around this topic of restoration.
Well, the book could almost be called Jesus Restored. And in fact, I toyed with that as a title, because restoration is something that is really the business that God is in. In fact, you could almost say that's the full-time job for God, is restoring us. And as I went through the book and did research in Scripture, there were 13 specific items that God wants to restore to us, and we'll get to those later. And I've been hearing from people that men especially are weeping when they read the book, and perhaps something in it touches their soul about God's love and desire to restore them. King David in the beautiful psalm said, "You restoreth my soul, and he leads me beside still waters." And so restoration is, to me, a more beautiful word than fix. If you said, I want to restore this artwork, or someone said, I can fix that, who would you give it to? You know, you'd give it to the person who said they wanted to restore that. That means someone who is cognizant of the original condition, who wants to bring the fullness of it back so that it looks even better than the original, as opposed to someone who wants to fix it. They might glue the pieces together and there you are. So when God is in the business of restoration, and when you read through the promises, it's better than broken. Everything becomes new again. So it just really touches my heart to be talking about this chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters in the book.
As you were talking about that, I was thinking about my brother's method of fixing things. First of all, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But if it is really broken, then a little baling wire and duct tape will make it good as new. So I take it, you know, that restoration, is not how my brother fixes things. It would be a...
Yeah, that is so true. And in the book, I talk about my mother, who was having hip problems, and she would go to a physical therapist who would restore the hip. Her hip would pop out. And so, you know, with water therapy, he would put it back in place, but, you know, it might feel good for 6 weeks and then it would pop back out. And then she took up yoga, and within 6 months of yoga, she had thrown away her cane and her hip never did go back to its original condition, because it's one thing to pop something back into place. It's another thing to restore the muscle tone around that hip joint. So that's what yoga did. It restored the muscle tone so that it kept it in place. And I liken that to workplace, you know, people who pop in and out of jobs or maybe pop in and out of relationships. If you don't restore the muscle tone, you might think you're fixing a situation, but it's going to pop out again because you have not restored the original cause that was making it pop out in the first place.
You know, and I love that that image of God in Christ, where, you know, what kind of just jumped into my space was, we're all familiar with restoration hardware, but really God probably had the first restoration hardware store, right? And so inside that store, they have some really, really beautiful pieces of furniture and linens and just really, really cool gadgets, right? And when I think about what you were saying, Lori Beth, about how God and Christ wants to restore us to the original, that's powerful. Yeah, that's a really, really deep thought. I mean, we could chew on that, you know, for a long time. But wow, what an image of being renewed, being restored. It's going to be a great 30-minute show here tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I was kind of just
also,
thinking through.
Also, the idea of restoring to me is it's a craftsmanship. It requires patience. It requires imagination. It requires a lot of tenderness and love. And, you know, I don't know if you remember the movie Tea with Mussolini.
Vaguely.
Well, it's during the war times in Europe. And it's the story of this little town in Italy that was damaged. And it shows one of the characters is a person that is restoring the murals inside the church. And just to see how the whole town works out to just to save the inside of the church where the painters were, and just how they care to restore that later on, it gives you the value of that word. It's something that doesn't have a price. And, you know, I'm from Mexico City. When they restored the pyramids of the Aztecs and the Tlatelolcas and all that, it's like, as you said, it's like bringing them back to life. And you get transported in time and imagine how those pyramids were used in the times. Just by the way they start restoring them, that brings the idea, visualize how it was. So it's a beautiful word, I think.
So Lori, go ahead, Lisa. Did you have a question?
No, go ahead.
So Lori Beth, how do you know if you need to be restored? Can you take us down that path for a few minutes?
Sure. Well, I have a list in the book of how do you know that you, when you need to be restored? And there's like 10 or 12 things. One of them is that you live in fear of the future. So if you see someone who is cowering and you know, curled up in the fetal position, that is not the original position God has for them. So here's the list. You live in fear of the future. You're out of energy and fatigued all the time. You find yourself snapping at loved ones. You've been swimming upstream mentally and emotionally, but not getting anywhere. You haven't laughed in a really long time. Someone has broken trust with you, and now you're cautious and wary. People no longer come to you for ideas or opinions. Your life has lost its luster. You feel like something is missing, but you're not sure what. So if any of those are things that resonate with you, then chances are you need to be restored.
Wow.
And I guess the obvious question, next question is, what does that restoration look like? How does one seek, pursue, accomplish restoration?
Well, the Restore chapter is in the water section. So water is really the restorative element almost more than any of them. When you see someone who's, you know, a journeyer, the first thing you do is bring them water. So many of us are actually dehydrated in this society in America. So going to the water, drinking water, thinking about water, being around water, He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me through the valley of the shadow of death. And God finds a place for this young man to sit still. I mean, he's in a dangerous spot, and God sits him by the water. So I think geographically, go to the water, whether it's a lake or a pond or a fountain or even a shower. I often get restored in the shower, letting the water just run down my back. So I wanted to go through the career exercises. And in those, I talk about a promise, a specific promise that God made, and then also apply it to your career situation. So one of the first things that God promises to restore is our land. And when you think about that, what does land or territory mean? What is the territory of responsibility? And this is why knowing your mission is so important, because it's not that God is going to give you back your corner office. He's not interested in that kind of territory. If you are called to be a healer, that's your territory of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think that God wants to restore that land to you.
Wow.
And you to that land or territory. The restoration of health. So here's a question. Does your work specifically help restore the health of others, emotional, physical, mental, financial, spiritual? And here's another side of the coin. Is that work that you're doing draining the health out of you or your loved ones or your family members? Because that is something to really consider. God wants to restore our health. And in order to do that, that's why the book is titled Find and Keep Your Perfect Work. If your work is draining you health-wise, then it's not your perfect work, perhaps. I understand, you know, short things when you have to do difficult things, but if it's going to suck the life out of you, that's not the image of restoration that I see coming from God.
So how do we take you know, in this job market, unemployment rates, you know, people you know, like some of your folks, Elisa, who've you know, been laid off and you know, their position is gone. You know, sometimes we take a job because we need sustenance. We need to take care of business and feed our family. Or, you know, how do we move into that business of restoration and allow that to supersede the situation?
Well, you need to step back, and the whole book talks about that. When you've been laid off or when you've had a sudden reversal of fortune, you need literally to step back and catch your breath and go through all the emotions that you're dealing with. But then I challenge people in the last chapter to rejoice, no matter what the circumstance is, because at some level God has set you free. Mm. And free to find a greater self, free to find more faith. You know, there's so many areas of release. But I want to keep going through the list of restoration because that's so powerful. So God wants to restore our position. Again, it's not your position as a job title, but it's your position in Christ, which is a ruler of nations. Mm. You know, we forget that when we are anxious, we forget who our Father is. We forget our inheritance. We forget that we are called to really rule. And so when God wants to restore our position, it sometimes just means come closer to me. That's
right.
The position I want
right.
you in is close to me. The fourth thing that God promises to restore is money and prosperity. So it's not, you know, the prosperity gospel, that's one of 13 things that God restores. And people hone in on that because we're such a money-driven culture. But you know, God is not glorified when people are starving or are poor. That's not true restoration. So the fifth thing is he wants to restore the kingdom. How can my work, you know, ask yourself this question, how can my work today or tomorrow help restore righteousness, justice, and mercy to others? What is the kingdom work that God is calling me to do? The sixth thing is restoration of goods. Does my work restore goods to people, either through merchandising, import, export? What goods do I help bring others? Number seven is restoration of comfort. Can I take part in restoring comfort to others as a healthcare aide, a nurse practitioner, massage therapist, interior designer, musician? How can what I do or want to do help restore the comfort of others?
Wow.
And then there's three more. The restoration of lost years. I love that. Mm. How can I help restore the lost years to others? A good counselor can do that, as well as someone who helps maybe with archiving or genealogy, estate planners, financial planners, tutors, teachers, physical therapists, physicians, good listening friends, and attorneys can help restore lost years to people. Number nine, the restoration of paths to dwell in. Is my task to help restore paths to dwell in through educating youth or building homes for veterans, by being a chaplain in the military or a clergy person? Certainly our work and our company is called The Path because we really believe we are helping to restore paths for people to dwell in. This book itself is a desire to help restore paths to dwell in. And then finally, the restoration of all things. Well, actually, that's number 10. Does my work help others see that not one item in our lives has to be left unrestored, damaged, or incomplete? Can I be like the woman who says her only job in life is to be a blessing to others? And then the final thing is that God wants to restore thy life. Does my work give me a sense of destiny and purpose, a reason to get up and out there every day? Can my work be about restoring life, like working in an adoption agency or with animal rescue? What would it look like career-wise for you to be restored? So I wanted to go through all of those because in this chapter there is the specific scripture where God promises to restore land, territory, position, kingdom, health, goods, comfort, life. I mean, it is so powerful. I want to weep when I read this because really, you know, so many people, I think, wrongly think that God is there to break them. Right?
Mm.
He's not there to break you. He's there to restore you.
Oh, so let's talk about that for a second. I mean, this is an amazing exercise taken out of the book in this chapter on restore. And, you know, I am just, you know, quite frankly, overwhelmed at the moment, thinking about a God that would want to do all those things,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
in my life and for each person on the planet. Wow, that is huge. And, you know, this, I can see why you wanted to call the whole book Jesus Restored. You know, I just got to sit with this for a second. I'm sorry, but... wow, what a huge list, and it makes me think of work differently. You know,
how so?
Well, I think sometimes in the church, you know, growing up in the Christian faith, you know, do we use the word restore?
Not so much.
Yeah,
it's salvation and damnation.
If we really taught restoration, that God was in the restoration business and really had the first restoration hardware store, you know, what's in that hardware store, you know, for my life? And you know, as we unpack that, you know, that'd be a great sermon for someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's transformative. If the church pursued that, you know, it would certainly make it much more relevant.
Yeah, so why don't we think about that, Elisa? Why don't we think about how the church restores? And I'm not saying the church doesn't. There's a lot of churches that talk about, you know, embracing transformation and renewal. Last week we talked about renewal, the chapter on renewal. This week, you know, it's the chapter on restoration. I just think it's a powerful word that maybe we don't even use enough.
Well, I certainly got a new respect for it. And, Vicki, I know you're sitting there. I talked quite a bit for almost 10 straight minutes, but this is so powerful. I wanted to get that list in so people could get a sense of how huge God's desire is to restore us. So, Vicki, what are you thinking or feeling right now?
Yeah, as I mentioned to you, it's one of the, you know, you have in water three words: reflect, renew, and restore. And I think the restore has a little bit of deeper impact, because it not only brings back to the original space, the original form, as you mentioned, but I think, especially after you have lost anything, the fact that you can be restored and recover it, and sometimes you give even, you get a little bit more just by the grace of God.
Right.
And so restore is not you lost two, then you're going to gain two. You might gain 2.5, 3, 4. I don't know. It all depends on what God is giving you. And probably it's also part of your attitude, as you mentioned. It's a time of reflection, and restoring is also an exercise of giving thanks for what you have, and then finding out how you, when you're restored, making an account of what have you been restored with, and you might find that you have an interest gain there.
Right. That's true. Alyssa, you're looking very thoughtful.
I'm just sitting here reflecting. I think it's powerful thoughts, especially in terms of, your questions regarding how are we living lives of restoration. You know, God's promise to restore all of those things to us, and then using that almost as a filter in terms of are we in the right work, you know, and knowing that by, are we living out lives of restoration in our sphere of influence? And you know, just also reflecting about how challenging it is for some people to take the time to pursue that restoration. And I was wondering, you know, why do you think that is? You know, that people keep waking up feeling depressed, keep waking up feeling blasé, or keep waking up and going into the fire of a job that's not fulfilling, or just keep, you know, and they keep going, and are frustrated or bitter or whatever, and yet, you know, in their heads they know they need to seek restoration, but yet they don't take those steps to actually pursue that. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the challenge for restoration, or why more people don't take the time, is that it takes time. It takes a long time. And I tell the story in the book of a friend of mine who's a therapist who is counseling a woman who was repeatedly raped by her older brother, who is now a quote-unquote beloved priest in the community. And she, this young woman, she's full of psychosomatic illnesses and depression, as you can imagine, and she won't expose this man because he's so quote-unquote beloved, and he's the apple of his mother's eye, and so she's carrying all this guilt and shame and herself, and this counselor that I know has been working with this woman for 5 years, and she said only now, after 5 years, is she coming to the point where her illnesses are starting to recede, you know, the illnesses that they couldn't find any cause for, but it's taken 5 years, and when you look at the restoration of a cathedral or a painting, I know when I was restoring a home in Phoenix, and I talk about this in the book, and I wanted to do some really cool stuff, and my contractor came in, and then the inspector came in and said, you've got to restore a beam in this hall before you can do anything, and we had to make a $2,500 beam, 6-foot steel beam that had to be specially made, hauled in, brought in with a crane, before I could even do anything, because it was so central to the work. And after it was finished, you know, certainly you couldn't even see the beam, and I would walk people down the hall, and I'd say, up above us lies a beam that you hopefully will never see. But it's like we understand these things with contracting, with art, with buildings, but we think that we're supposed to just jump up and run when maybe we have been knocked flat emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, and we need to understand that it takes time. And I told my friend, the therapist, I said, I think this woman would heal faster if she saw some heads rolling down the aisle. And she said, no, it's never about what the perpetrator did, because that's beyond your control. Restoration is the inner work that must be done with a loving guide. So that's a very long answer to your question, but, you know, we expect things to happen instantly, and yet we don't know. God worked to restore Saul's soul, Paul's soul, for how long? 13 years he was out in the desert. There was a lot of work that needed to be done in that man before he came back and changed his song. So I think to realize that things can't happen. I've got an inflamed eye, and I've had it for 12 days, and I put eye drops in, and it's not getting better, and I went to the doctor, now I have to have steroids. Well, I put in the steroid drop, and I looked, and it was still pink, and it was like, what the heck, man? This is steroids. It's supposed to work. And they said, it's probably going to take a week. So 4 times a day I have to put this eye drop in. There's a process to restoration that we think can just happen overnight.
Well, I do have a thought here as we're winding down time. What about people, and I know you're using Jesus as a model, as a career counselor here in the book, and how you present Jesus as that type of leader. What about folks that have no clue as to what restoration is? They don't know God. They don't know anything about, some of the things that you're talking about in this book. How do they move to understanding restoration? That's one question, but I would love for you to close the session out tonight reading one of the prayers that you have in the book. People are laid off all around me, and I'm scared. I think that is, restoration inside career. We think about how can we realign and refocus and restore, myself, in a valuable way to my society and to family, friends, people I know. How do I do that? But if I'm not a Christian tonight and I'm listening to your show, where do I start?
Well, I think that knowing that you were created, acknowledging that you were created and that you're a beautiful and perfect creation in God's eyes, and because we just have a minute or two, I will go ahead and read this prayer. This is a workplace prayer, and the condition is, people are being laid off all around me, Lord, and I'm scared. This morning, my boss called me to an early morning meeting and told me that he's leaving. He didn't say he was being laid off. I think the word he used was restructuring. He had a tremble in his hand and tears welled up in his eyes as he spoke, even though he tried to be brave about it. I know he is scared, and frankly, Lord, so am I. Will I be next? If so, where will I go? I focused so much of my time and energy just doing the tasks in front of me, and I trust doing them well. I haven't sought greener pastures. Should I? Should I be seeking them now? How do I get over the fear? How do I shake the pall that has seemed to settle over the office, the entire industry, in fact? Help me remember now more than ever that you are my rock and my guardian. I do not lean on reeds. You created me and know my every movement, my going in and my goings out. The psalmist David wrote about this. I stand ready to serve you. I will drink now with one eye on the horizon, as all good warriors are taught to do. I will be open to new opportunities. I will sharpen my skill sets, renew old contacts, and meanwhile serve here faithfully until I am called to serve elsewhere. Your army is huge. You will make a place for me, I know. Help me be a source of comfort, inspiration, and strength to those around me. Let them say, I can see that you have been with Jesus, and I want you to tell me more. Let me preach the gospel without ever needing a stage or a microphone. Let me be your words made flesh in every circumstance and surrounding. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. And that is a powerful way to end tonight's show. Thank you so much, Lori Beth, for your insight and for writing this book that I think is going to be such a source of hope and inspiration and a means for restoration for so many.
Amen and
amen. Thank you, Shelley, for putting the show on.
Thank you. We'll talk to you all next week, and we'll be moving into a new area of remain.
The Earth category.
Yeah. So we'll continue
Shelley's
to focus
excited.
On what's that?
Shelley's excited about getting some Earth in there.
Yeah, get some Earth in there. But we'll continue this week with Lori's Twitters and blog posts with restoration. She'll have some more things coming out this week and over the weekend about that. And next Thursday we'll talk about remain.
Yes.
So join us back. Have a great 4th of July weekend. We'll talk to you all soon.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.